With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
The Volume.
The Draymond Green Show is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to bet the action than on FanDuel Sportsbook during the football season. It's easy to use. It's safe and secure. You get payouts in as fast as 2 hours. There's so many bet types. My favorite, same game parlay bets. There's live betting, player props, futures. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. To get started now, sign up. Please use the promo code COLIN. COLIN. FanDuel Sportsbook makes it easy.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Draymond Green Show. Like we said earlier this week, there will be no guests during the playoffs, but we are going to try and do two shows a week so I can keep you updated on my thoughts about the playoffs, on including our series as well. We are actually recording this right after game three, which you could probably see. I still can't stop sweating it. But let's get into it, man. I mean, game three, takeaways from game three. Jordan Poole liked that. Jordan Poole is the most improved player in the NBA. I'm going to keep saying that until they get sick of me saying it and actually change the way the voting is, because it's absolutely ridiculous, the voting system. And if you don't think it's ridiculous, then look no further than Jordan Poole, was on All-NBA G League third team last year. And now he's the leading scorer to Golden State Warriors in the playoffs, championship contender. I'm still waiting on someone to show me who improved more than that. So my fight is one of two things. Or maybe even both. Number one is change the voting system. Number two, change the name of the award or add a criteria to what actually makes someone most improved player or what makes someone the MVP or what makes someone the defensive player of the year. Let's just identify what exactly that is, because it's ridiculous. So yeah, I'm talking about Jordan Poole again. And if you're watching basketball, you would be talking about him too. Or if you knew what you were watching, some people out there, not everybody, but you know, there's a lot of people out there that think they know this game of basketball, and it's just not the case. So, and again, we can see that because Jordan Poole is not the most improved player. Jordan Poole is not even the most improved player of the player finalists. So when I say people don't know basketball, look no further than that. Joker had a big game tonight. I told y'all after game one, he was going to try to go for 40, 20, or 40, 15, and 15. He almost did it tonight. I mean, didn't get the assist, which is important. You know, you don't want all the other guys getting off. And, you know, tonight Aaron Gordon had his best game of the series, which was big for them, which was a huge part of the reason, you know, the game was that tight down the stretch. But Joker was amazing, man. I thought they did a great job of playing in space with him, picking and popping. He did a great job attacking closeouts. My closeouts were terrible Coach Kerr got at me when he called that timeout when Joker pump faked me with like 3 minutes to go, got down the lane and got the layup. He called a timeout and got at me like, stop jumping off your feet. I had done it like 4 or 5 times. And I went back at coach a little bit. I'm like, well, I'm getting drug all the way down the floor and it's an impossible closeout. You're like, well, make him hit the shot. I'm like, well, he already hit two of them, 2 for 3. Like, well, he's going to get a layup if you keep doing that. And so we had a little moment. Nothing like the moments used to be. It's just him challenging me and I ask a question and he say this and then I say this and then, you know, coach get the final say. And that was that. He tried to change the coverage. I told him, no, don't change the coverage. I'll figure it out. And was able to get some stops down the stretch, come up with a big steal. You know, that steal, he took the first dribble. And once he took the first bounce, he hit me, and I still had inside position. So once I realized I still had inside position, my mind immediately turns to see the ball. And so on the second bounce, it was like away from his body. And so that's advantaged me because I can use my quickness and I can use my length. I got pretty long arms, 7'2" wingspan at 6'5 3/4. That's pretty solid. So I knew that that was to my advantage. So I'm like, okay, now I'm thinking if he takes one more dribble like this, I'm going to stab at it. And if I get it, great. But what I'm thinking is I know I can either get it or just take a swipe at it and not foul because he had the ball so far away from his body. And I just took a stab at it. I got a good hit on the ball. And you know you get a good piece of the ball when you knock the ball away and it like spin to you. When it take that spin, because sometimes you knock the ball away and it just goes straight out, the guy run back and get it. But I knocked it away and it took that backspin on me. I said, oh yeah, got this one. But I mean, the reality is he had got the better of me all night. And, you know, he had won the matchup for tonight. I thought I won the matchup in the first two games. But he had won the matchup tonight. And, you know, I've always said it's going to be some nights like that where he's getting off and you know, you just try to make it tough. And there's really just nothing you can do. However, I think I definitely aided in him getting off. Now, take that the wrong way. He's an absolutely great player. But I thought I left my feet way too much on shot fakes. I thought I gave him way too many angles to score. And I took my body off of him way too much. Now, you ask yourself, why? Number one, that Denver altitude ain't no joke. That Denver altitude is serious. Mile high city for a reason. You go to breathing. And so, excuse my bad breathing, but that's how you feel on the basketball court in Denver. And kudos to Joker, man. He showed up like an MVP would. One thing we do know about him is he's not soft. He's not shying away or from no wreck. You know, he wants the wreck, and he carried his team tonight. Down the stretch, we made plays that we needed to make. Steph Curry is absolutely incredible. The way Steph Curry bounces back from injuries is like dude don't miss a beat. Like maybe in the first, you know, when he stepped out on the court, the first time he's back out there, it's like getting a feel. But look no further than that first stint because he does not miss a beat. And I'm not saying this after this series. I'm not saying this just tonight. Like we've seen this over and over again, even in playoff time. I know y'all remember that game 3 in Portland where he came back and we won that thing in single or double overtime, and Steph Curry took over the fourth quarter in overtime. I think he might have had 30 points in fourth quarter in overtime. Like, Steph's no stranger to this. We're no stranger to this with Steph, but the way he bounced back from injury, I mean, it is absolutely insane. One of the reporters asked me tonight, like, so how do you compare the way Steph Curry comes off an injury to the way you come off an injury? Well, he's just only the best shooter to ever live. And that's clockwork, you know. Now, I don't know why I can't. I'm a rhythm player. I'm a feel guy. I need that feel. Steph's just kind of go. Like, he ain't looking for no feel. He just kind of going and taking what the defense giving him and making the defense give him stuff. So, Steph's been incredible. We spoke about Jordan Poole. Klay Thompson. Not only did Klay Thompson shoot the ball well, and I'm going to tell you a very deceiving stat, and if you don't believe it's deceiving, go back and watch the game and pay attention. Klay Thompson battled with Joker down the stretch on rebounds after I got switched off for different things. And Klay got his hand on every rebound down the stretch. He only had one rebound for the game, which was very shocking to me because it does not tell the story that he does not tell the story of him on the boards. Andre Iguodala, big man, has come up with some big boards, guarding Joker, guarding DeMarcus Cousins, dunked on Will Barton, turned back to hand of time. Oh, man, you know, it's always good to see Dre take off like that, but Dre was huge down the stretch, and then Wiggins was out of the game, comes back in the game, hits a big three, gets an offensive rebound, gets a stop on Joker. Like, those are the plays that win championships. It's not what everyone thinks, everybody just come down and shoot threes. Those are the plays that wins games, wins you championships. And kudos to Wiggins, the guy who's been drugged through the mud, who everybody say the guy don't show up. He only had 9 points. I hope everyone can see past that and see the game. Guy's playing big-time basketball in his first three games of this series. We expect nothing less, and we expect him to keep it going. So, and then Gary Payton, man, GP came out fire and hit three threes in the first quarter, which was great for us. You know, when you're coming on the road, the one thing we expected coming into this game where they were going to be super physical. You could see Aaron Gordon climbing in the guys right from the gate. Now, you know, you do that and, you know, guys go by you and it gets tough. But their mindset was exactly what we thought it would be. They took on the personality of their head coach. Very hard nose. You know, he's going to come with it. They came with it and you got to give them credit. But that is the ultimate gut punch. When you go on the road up 2-0 and a team is giving you their best shot in game three, and you can take those punches and come out with the win and set yourself up for a sweep, put yourself in position for a sweep, that's the ultimate gut punch. And there's no better feeling than walking off a court and you can hear a pin drop. It doesn't get better than that when you go on the road in the playoffs. That is, like, that's the ultimate feeling as an athlete. So I enjoyed that one, man. And I hope everyone else enjoyed it. Now, you know, game four going to be tough. Those boys just not going away.
Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
You had 5 fouls for the majority of the end of that game. And you're obviously a very physical defender. And you know Jokic is trying to get into your body. So what's your thought process when you have 5 fouls or guarding a guy like that? A, for the entire last few minutes of the game, but especially on that last possession when you're going for that steal. Like, what is going through your mind? Are you trying to defend him differently? What are you doing differently or not differently when you have 5 fouls guarding a player like that, with that in the fourth quarter especially?
That play was actually kind of deja vu for me. I had a play like that some years back against New Orleans in the playoffs, and Anthony Davis right on that same side. And if I'm not mistaken, I may have had 5 fouls in that game too. I think the way I look at that one is, on the steal in particular, that is a very calculated risk. Like, I see where the ball is. I'm reaching out. You know what I'm saying? I'm not, like, trying to get through his body to get the ball. I'm just reaching and slapping at the ball. And so it's that one is a very calculated risk. In saying that, 5 fouls with 4 minutes to go, if I foul out, then guys just got to pick up the slack. But I can't play the last 4 minutes worry about picking up my 6th foul, because guess what he's going to do? He's going to take advantage thinking he got 5 fouls. He's not trying to foul again. Well, that's not me. I'm going to play defense. I'm going to keep my hands out, try to make sure I don't get any ticky-tack fouls. But ultimately, if he makes a great move and he make me foul him, he's a great player. That happens sometimes. And so I didn't think much about the 5 fouls at all. I thought more about the 4 fouls. When I picked up that 4th early, that I thought more about that one than the 5th foul. The 5th one, 4 minutes ago, you're just going to have to foul me out right there, champ, because what I can't do is just give up buckets trying to stay in the game. If I'm going to just give up buckets, I might as well go sit down. So for me, the mindset don't change with 5 fouls with under 4 minutes to go. The mindset is still the mindset. You got to get stops and we go another way. Man, as we talked about before, that Celtics-Nets series is absolutely incredible. You had the Nets up 17 points, everything going their way. And let's talk about something else that happened last night with that game that most people don't know is really a thing, but it's a real thing. the emotions of someone receiving a big award before the game, it takes the emotions of a team everywhere. I've been a part of a couple Steph Curry moments that he gets the award, one for myself. And I would love to know what actual winning percentage the team has after a guy receives a big award. It is very hard. Like, when you're a part of these teams, you go through these seasons, and you grow so tight with guys, and you have to be tight in order to win. And when you see one of your brothers get a big-time award, like, you feel like you got that award. And then, boom, it's time to play a game. The emotions that you still have from that award, it's hard to flip to that game. But you know who flips right to the game? That team that's watching you get that award. And last night, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving took full advantage of that. I mean, the Nets, obviously. But they took full advantage of that to start that game. And then Boston found their legs. They found their feet. They got going. And then the game was back and forth. Celtics took the lead. Nets took it back. And then ultimately, the Celtics took the lead back. But, I mean, you have to give Boston a lot of credit on the way. They defended Kyrie and KD, but in particular, KD. K just looked like he couldn't find the rhythm. Now, I was very shocked that they had him bringing the ball up so much, because guys were just getting into him at half court, climbing into his dribble. And it looked to make him a little uncomfortable. Now, I wouldn't expect that if I'm Boston going into the next game. You know, you get one, but you ain't locking that guy down for an entire series. And they've done a very good job these first two games. I mean, you got guys flying at him left and right. Every time he shoots the ball, it's two guys contesting his shot. One coming from the rear view, a guy in front. You got guys on the side of him contesting his shot. I mean, the defense Boston is playing is absolutely incredible. I expect Brooklyn to put KD in more pin downs to where he's catching the ball, like at the free throw line, at the elbow area, because good luck stopping him with those. So I was a little shocked by how much he handled the ball. I thought one good sign for Brooklyn was Bruce Brown, Goran, and those guys playing as well as they played on the road, because role players typically don't play great on the road. Now, Dragic has been here. You know, that's by all, like, we know Dragic's track record. We know he shows up in big games. But for Bruce Brown to go have the games that he had was absolutely incredible. And now he's going home. I don't know if people aren't expecting it, but you should be expecting him to have a huge game going back home. And so, you know, if he can continue to play that way, you get some of the other guys going. Seth Curry, you know, he's playing through injury and going through all of those things. Ben Simmons is expected to return in game four. I'm not sure how I feel about that. To miss the entire season of basketball and then go into game four, which could possibly be a closeout game, could be a possible tie, game to tie it up. I'm not sure how I feel about that. And I know he's getting pressure from that way, and that way. But the reality is, to not play in a game, and the Nuggets have been talking about this with Jamal Murray, and I'm just like, to not play in a game all year and then go right into a playoff game, I worry about that. I mean, just keep up with that intensity. Like, I worry about that. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. Maybe they'll pull it back. Hopefully they will pull it back. But I don't quite love that one. And, you know, you bring a guy back after missing the entire season. Like, are you expecting him to be the savior? Like, I don't honestly think Brooklyn needs saved. I mean, they had game 1-1 and was up 17 in game 2. Now, you got to close the games out and stuff, but I'm a little worried about Ben Simmons coming back. I mean, we'll see what happens, but I worry about that one. But with all the pressure that's coming from every angle, I doubt that they'll pull back on it, but that's something to watch. And you know, these guys have never played with him. It's not even like he's returning to the same team that kind of knows. I don't know, man. We'll see. But I was a little shocked by that one. So we'll see. But I would definitely be tuned into that game 3, because that series is amazing. You got great scorers on both sides. Boston Celtics defense is absolutely incredible. Ime Udoka's doing a great job. Marcus Smart is being a true point guard. I mean, Jaylen Brown is taking better and better shots. JT took a couple questionable shots in that third quarter. I was actually about to text JT and say, hey, man, you playing a little soft right now, JT. But just like any great player does, he had a little moment where, you know, he had a couple turnovers. Then he had that sidestep on the left wing, like tough one after he just had bobbled the ball when they threw the pass over the top. He bobbled it and missed. Like, he was having a rough stretch. And I was about to text him. I said, I'm going to hold off. And then he did what JT does down the stretch. Put them away. Dragic was ready to contest that dribble. I'm bigger than you. I'm just bigger than you. I'm going to raise up. And he raised up, canned them boys, sent them back to Brooklyn. But now they got to go into Brooklyn, and I think that's going to be tough. So I'm looking forward to how KD and Kyrie going to respond. I've played years with Kevin, played against Kyrie a bunch of years. You don't keep guys like that down. So I'm looking forward to seeing how they respond and how Brooklyn respond. But that series is far from over. So game three is going to be very exciting.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came out from crying tears. Crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And then Memphis and Minnesota. That, I don't even know what to say about that game. Minnesota built up two separate 22-plus point leads. Two separate leads. Now, like, the lead didn't get cut to 16 and they took it back 20. The lead got cut to 5. And then they took it back to 26. Then they lost the lead. But how many times have you seen a team get up 22 points and 25 points at separate times and not score 100 points? That's interesting. That's very interesting. And there are some things to take away from that. One, that means Memphis went on some huge scoring droughts, as did Minnesota. But some huge scoring droughts. And two, how do you get up that much and not even break 100? Twice you got up that much. That's mind-boggling to me. Now, I was watching this game in the locker room before our game, so I know exactly what was happening, and I was watching it. Karl Towns, 3-for-4 from the field? I'm sorry, foul trouble or no foul trouble, Karl Towns can't go 3-for-4 from the field. And you actually still should have won the game. Karl Towns has to take more than 4 shots. And I think this is maybe the second time in the last 4 games that he's taken 7 shots or less. That's your best player. That's your all-star. Karl Towns has to shoot the ball. If Minnesota's going to have a chance to even this series up, headed back to Memphis, Karl Towns has to shoot 15-plus shots. Karl Towns has to take advantage, full advantage of his game. Three, block, whatever. Karl Towns has to shoot the ball more. If I'm Memphis, and Patrick Beverley wants to ISO Ja every play, you have to live with that. Patrick Beverley got it going early, and he finished with 14 points, and he was in attack the whole game, but he finished 5-for-13. If you're Memphis, that's exactly what you want, because if Patrick Beverley is attacking Ja every play, that means D'Angelo's not shooting. That means Anthony Edwards is not shooting. That means Karl Towns, who was 3-for-4 from the field, is not shooting the basketball. So if I'm Minnesota, I'm not sure exactly what I want is what Patrick Beverley did. Now, we all know Pat Bev, and you know, he a dog. He going to get with it, and he going to try to show guys up. That's what he do. But if I'm the Minnesota Timberwolves, as much as you love what Pat was bringing to the game, you got to get the ball to the guys that score the points. And that didn't happen. So, you know, when Patrick Beverley, now you're Memphis, you don't want Ja getting in foul trouble. So that's tough. But if Patrick Beverley just wants to ISO Ja Morant, if I'm the opposing team, I'm living with that. You have to live with that, because again, that's taking the ball out of your best scorer's hands. So we'll see what that adjustment will be. Will Patrick Beverley be as aggressive as he was? I think the aggression is great, but I thought it got a little carried away, because, again, Karl Towns was 3-for-4. So Anthony Edwards didn't shoot it as well as he's been shooting it this game. So if you're Minnesota, what are your takeaways from that game? We know we can build a lead. We know these guys aren't going away. What do we have to do in order to actually win these games? See, down the stretch, I know Karl Towns went in the rhythm, but the gravity that he pulls, I got to get him the ball on the post. They're not playing Steven Adams anymore. So now you should be going to the post. The advantage early in the series was on the wing. Now the advantage is in the post. They're not playing their biggest guy. So guess what? You go to the post, you take advantage of those guys in the post. What are they going to do? They're going to say, oh, he killed us in the pros. We bring Steven Adams back. All right, then you mosey on back to the perimeter. You got to play the game within the game. So I was very shocked that Karl Towns is still catching the ball at the top of the key, man. He should be getting post touches, especially with them going with the smaller lineups. So I think that'll be one of Minnesota's adjustments. And look for Karl Towns to come out extremely aggressive to start that game four. And if I'm Memphis, I'm probably throwing double teams at Karl Towns to start that game four, because he's going to come out aggressive, and you get him going, then he's starting kick out to those other guys. All of a sudden, it's not Patrick Beverley isoing Ja. It's Patrick Beverley getting open corner threes, because there's so much help has to come. So we'll see, man. And then lastly, before we get out of here, the injury bug. We have been hit with the injury bug all year, so we know how it goes. But you got Chris Middleton, who will be reevaluated in 2 weeks. That's a huge blow for Milwaukee. Going into Chicago, tied at 1-1, missing. See, Chris Middleton is Milwaukee's closer. Like, they don't go to Giannis down the stretch to get a bucket. They put Giannis and Chris Middleton in pick and rolls, and then Chris Middleton makes the play. So that's a huge loss. I expect Drew to be way more aggressive, have the ball a lot more, but I mean, we'll see what happens with Chicago if they can keep taking advantage of, you know, the way they did the other night. Vucevic was incredible. DeMar DeRozan. DeMar got it going. DeMar said, I won't shoot 5-for-26 again. He did not shoot 5-for-26 again. Had a 40 ball, was with one of three players in Chicago, well, the last three players for certain in Chicago to score a 40 ball in the playoffs was Your Ernest, Michael Jordan, the man himself, MVP D. Rose, and DeMar DeRozan. I mean, absolutely incredible game by DeMar. Said, you know what, I'm going to just get to my spot. I'm going to raise up. And he did that all night. And then to lose the lead up three go straight at Giannis, take the contact with the finish. Got to give that man all the credit. He told y'all what he was going to do, and he went out there and did it. D-Book goes out with a hamstring injury. And I think the thing to watch with D-Book's hamstring injury is this isn't Book's first hamstring injury. You know, like, this is maybe Book's fifth or sixth hamstring injury. And so you have – that's not like, I sprained my ankle, which I did tonight, by the way. That's not like I sprained my ankle. Let's tape this up and let's give it a go. Hamstring, you got no explosion and you can't move. And so that's a big loss for Phoenix. That loss gives New Orleans the two best players on the court, which is hard to overcome. Now, no disrespect to CP. CP's 37. I don't personally think CP is going to give you all of that for 48 straight minutes at this age. He can give it to you in stretches, but to carry the load for 48 straight minutes, game after game after game, that is a very tough thing to do. So we know CP's capable, but that's very, very, very hard to do. And you got to guard guys on the other end. It's not like CP can just go sit on somebody and take a break. He got to guard on the other end. And so New Orleans is in a great position, head of home, up 1-1. I know nobody expected this, but that is the playoffs. Things happen. Injuries happen. That is all a part of the game. That is all a part of winning championships or not. And it's unfortunate. You hate to see guys out, but, you know, that's the hand that Phoenix was dealt. Now, they have great depth. They've used that depth all year. Again, you're removing the best player in the series, so that's tough, but we'll see if they can rely on that depth. We got Luka still out, missed game three, but Dallas, Jalen Brunson is playing incredible. Jesus Christ, he's playing incredible. And all the other guys are playing well. They seem to be taking advantage of Rudy Gobert spacing the floor, and, you know, he collapses in. That's a very normal thing for a big man. You put him out in space, their natural instinct is going to be to retreat to the rim. That's what you've been taught your whole life. And they're taking full advantage of that. They're up 2-1 without their star. I don't think Luka comes back game four. Why would you even bring him back game four? You got a free swing. At worst, you bring him back game five if it's 2-2. If it's 3-1, you still bring him back in game five because you want to give yourself the best chance to close the series. That's if he's healthy. If there's any shadow of a doubt, you just keep pushing it back. But you got to give those guys credit. The way that they're stepping up, Jay Kidd is doing a great job. And Jared Dudley, this game plan that Dallas has going on has Jared Dudley's name written all over it. Does come up with some crazy schemes. And I think that game plan has his name written all over it. But give those guys credit. And then last team hit with the injury bug. Young fella, Scottie Barnes, the Toronto Raptors. Scottie Barnes is day-to-day with a foot injury. It's a big dude. He's a lot bigger than most people think, so foot injuries can be tricky. Down 3-0, do you rush him back on a foot injury? Probably going to get swept. I'm not sure I rush back my young fella to get swept anyway. So we'll see what happens with that, man, but I'm wishing all those guys good health. You never want to see anyone get hurt. And, you know, this is what we do. And I always say, you don't lead a court and not live that injury. You live that every second of the day. So I wish those guys well and getting back healthy. And, you know, we'll see what happens and how this affects these series, because injuries is a part of it, but it definitely affects outcomes.
Before we get out of here, do you see the Warriors stat that's going around, released by Warriors PR?
I have not seen the Warriors stat. What is that?
The Warriors
stat?
Have won at least one road game in each of their last 24 playoff series, an NBA record streak that began with the road victory in Denver, first round of the 2013 playoffs.
Hey, now, deja vu. You know what? Raymond Ritter told me right after the game. He said, man, you won a road game in every series. You guys right here. So, I mean, I always say, you know, even if you got home court advantage, you don't want to be that team that's just trying to win home games. That's so much pressure. If you can go take one on the world, you go take one. Now, we did that. I'd like to get greedy and get two on the road. So that's the goal from here. You know, guys got to stick with it. I think we got to do a better job executing the game plan. We didn't, We didn't do that today, and that starts with me. I was terrible executing game plans, so we got to do better. Road wins are hard to come by, but it was ugly, but we pulled it out. Got to come back Sunday looking to pull the brooms out. That's what it's all about. You got to get greedy. That's what we spoke to our guys about. Get greedy, don't settle for one. I thought in watching that Minnesota-Memphis series last game before tonight in game two, I thought Minnesota looked like, God, we going back home. We did our job. And then you lose one at home. You got to take advantage of those opportunities. So that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to come out in game four in this series, not give them any life, not give them any hope. But that's a wrap from this episode of the Draymond Green Show. I will talk to y'all hopefully after we close this series out on Sunday. Pop back next week. Until then, Draymond Green Show. It's a wrap. Peace.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing.
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel... It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You never want to find yourself out on the water fishing without the essentials. So it's best to always pack a Columbia PFG Solar Stream Elite hoodie to protect against the sun. I mean, it provides great protection and it's really breathable so you don't get hot. That's a win-win. Columbia PFG has a lot of great gear. So before you head out on the water, head over to Columbia.com/PFG to shop their performance fishing gear.